You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does the captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning. Good morning, African world. You are listening to, I tried to time it on a second, you know. I guess I ran out of time. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, it is hot as hell out there. And so you did it in a manner that was safe. You stayed hydrated. You stayed like with a hat on, some shade, you know, stayed, try to, you know, mentally cool. Because believe me, you know, there are people that, you know, more people die in heat than any other way. Yeah. Even though a lot of people died in those floods that were happening in the Northeast, and now the Northeast is going to get baked along with the Midwest. In fact, the Midwest, they're talking about a couple of days in the high 90s, if not 100, you know. Man, never forget, as I stated, you've probably heard this program. In fact, I even did a program, but that was on Blog Talk Radio, on climate change, you know. But I never forget reading that article at the firehouse, sitting at the firehouse table, reading that article, saying, if you don't change, and then the article was called Global Warming, and of course they had to change that to climate change because there were some winters that were extremely cold. Well, what about global warming, huh? Not understanding, like even the article said, you'll have extreme weather patterns. Extremely cold days and for longer stretches. Extremely hot days that may go on for weeks, if not over a month. You know, I've always said that I wouldn't live any other place than here in Atlanta. And I cited the weather. And there hasn't been one day over 100, but there's been some hot days. But it also been some cool days. Atlanta is in a nice position for some reason that they don't get hurricanes, not to the extent that many other coastal cities do, even some inland cities do. Tornadoes like they do in so-called Tornado Alley. But yeah, they get some bad weather, they get some hot weather, but relatively, you know. But when I read that article, and it said, if you don't do these changes, particularly as it relates to greenhouse gases, particularly as it relates to carbon emissions, fuel, burning fossil fuels, that's the real damn deal. That's the real deal. And all around this planet, you know, somehow you wish that now, if you were born earlier, although I like the fact I was born in the 50s, you know, I've seen a lot, but if you were born in the 40s, 30s, and you've seen all this industrial evolutionary things happening, you see all these technologically things happening, you become 70, 80 years old, and bam,
you know, right before the turn of the century, right before the 2000s, you perish, you expire, you die, and then you ain't tripping. It's great. Not knowing what's going to happen years to come. They say that if at this very moment they can cut these emissions in half. 2030 is only 7 years away, even less than that. 7.5, okay? Years away. 2050. You know, at that moment, we'll be 20 years away. To bring it at 2050 down to zero, they say that could save the planet. They would say that right away, that the temperatures, that the planet will cool itself. There's no doubt about it. I think the planet will, you know, this planet has been shown when you leave something just like on Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but I get up and I watch the news. I watch, especially on Sunday, I watch the news. Get up and watch the news, ABC at 8 o'clock. These are Eastern Times, family. Sunday morning at 9, it comes on. It goes off at 9:30. I get a half hour of NBC, Meet the Press, and then I go to ABC from 11 to 12 Eastern Time. I think I'll be pretty much informed. But what Sunday morning has is features, a lot of features. And, of course, it was a lot on Tony Bennett and Tony Bennett's death. But it had a piece on about this castle in England, that it was a farm. And it wasn't going to do good. And what they were informed about is that, why don't you let your farm just grow. Just let it go. Don't cultivate anything. Don't do this. Don't cut nothing. Just let it grow. And when they did that, it was amazing. Because they had a lot of land, you know. These were some people who were part of the aristocracy. They had a lot of land. And animals came back. Different types of insects came back. Man, they start flourishing. Man. So there's no doubt that the planet can correct itself, but not at this moment. Because that balance that the planet needs to do that is not there. That's one thing that Africans knew early on, even before anything, about the importance of balance. The law of Ma'at. Truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. Balance. This thing has been out of balance for quite a few hundred years, especially because of the industrial revolution. And it's way out of balance, to the detriment of the planet, to the detriment of many human beings. My contention is that China and India are serious polluters. But other major countries, Brazil, when you have huge countries that, with all those cars, countries in Africa. So when you were watching the weather and they were explaining the weather to you and they showed you a map, so they just didn't talk about how hot it is here in the United States, particularly in the South, and now that it's this weather pattern is going to move in a direction where the Midwest and the Northeast will be hot as hell. The whole damn United States. But no, the whole midsection of the planet. People came in Greece. you and the workers can't work, let alone the tourists can't see. In other parts of Europe and Africa. So, family, you know, it's going to be serious these next number of years. And right now, one could say this is the new normal. It's abnormal as hell to have this kind of weather for this long. Yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at Time for an Awakening. Go to Time for an Awakening. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that to drop down. You'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can use the shortcut, whatever search engine that you use. Put in BabaOshi.net. 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 And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The other program is Friday and Sunday. On Friday from 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Getting everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. His next trip is November, so that's a few months away. So if you want to go to Tanzania, it's beautiful. You know, November 16th through the 27th. Check it out. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. The trip after Tanzania is December 24th to January 4th, 2024. Azania. March 29th to April 9th. Liberia. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. Brothers and sisters, when you go to the website, you have opportunities to buy land on the continent, to invest, to repatriate, and of course, to look at communities on the continent, the Pan-African communities on the continent. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures, go to YouTube. Excuse me. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Its mission is, it's a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Africa, Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah. The land, ledged land for the environmentally development for group economics. Ledge, land for the environmental development of group economics. Brothers and sisters, Ledge deals with the four areas of human existence that are human, that are vital for human beings, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries and over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge group. theledgegroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com. Abibia Toomey, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatoomey.com. They had their power conference. They have all the kinds of things that are always happening with the Abibia Toomey. And love the website, love what they do. Abibiatoomey.com. Smy Pharmacy, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Smy Pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. You tell them what's happening with you in your life. Put together a program for you that'll get you on the right track of holistic health. Smy Pharmacy, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. If you want to contact him by email, at smyfarmacy at gmail, smyfarmacy at gmail, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y at gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation, talking with Brother Apollo, see if we can get Moses West on the program real soon. Maybe this Friday. That might happen. I know Wednesday we got Brother Franklin. Franklin Jones, that's right, Brother Franklin Jones, the black people's matrix. He's always putting out good content. He's always had some new stuff on the internet. One of the things we're going to talk about is, and if you haven't seen it on Netflix, with Jamie Foxx, you know, is they clone Tyrone. They clone Tyrone. So we're going to talk about that and some other good things. You know, clone, you better clone Tyrone, clone him. Yeah, it's a deep movie, interesting, very interesting movie. So, Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, we hope to have him, either Moses West or Brother Apollo. The newsletter they have, and Brother Paula sent me that, and you know, they really have a lot of good information, and so I suggest that you check out, okay. All right, brothers and sisters, let me continue on here. I had a little email message there that I definitely had to look at. Us lifting us to Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Every Thursday night, that Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio. Radio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And you can listen to the program by going online to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Or you can call and at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. You can listen or give your questions, comments, or concerns to the brothers and sisters. Us lifting us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, they're not open on Mondays. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they have everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They got cosmetics. They got CDs, DVDs, jewelry. Man, Brother BJ. And he even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. Brother B just got it going on. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here on Ralph David Abernathy. Oh, yeah. Wadada's is right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, right here in historical. I'm saying that. the historical West End, which is prime for gentrification, like everything else is. Yeah. So, delicious smoothies and vitality drinks and pastries and all kind of good stuff. Dry goods that you can purchase, beans and so forth. All kind of good stuff there at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Brothers and sisters, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimdi Ajamu. Give him a call at 470-305-6373. There's light in the Black Dot. And that's east of here off of I-20. Exit 74 in the main street in Lithonia. Make that left. And about a mile down the road will be on the left. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Jump back on I-20 going east. And the next exit, exit 75, is Turner Hill Road. And make a right. Go straight. Three lights. Make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yeah. Akabin Institute, Akabin House, and, you know, school is starting back. That's right. School is starting back. And there's all kinds of, they had their program this past weekend. And, my good brother Baba. Did I go too far for that? I sure did. Oshie, you've gone too far. I'll be talking about that trip with my brother George, too, very, very soon. That is going to be a very good trip to Ghana, asking 10 people, 5 couples, to make that trip. And I can't seem to find my... Well, anyway, let me get to the Inye. Oh, I didn't even go through the Sun Goddess Sense. Mama Shelley, I'm in set at Sun Goddess Sense, nor Sister Gabby at Sanjay Dash Haiti. I'll come to it. Yeah. I don't know. Me, I'm just a little off today. Don't know why. You know. But sometimes, you know, I just got to do that. I got to prioritize things and stay on top of things. Because I'm not as sharp as I used to be. And as you get older, a lot of us aren't. And which is unfortunate because we truly want to be. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So here's what I was looking for. Of course. Yeah. Of course, the school is starting August 1st, which is very soon. And you can contact them to get your child enrolled in Akabin, you know, Institute. and the Liberated Mind School Homeschool Education Expo was this weekend with a keynote address by Baba Baruti, the identity of an African-centered educator. And then, of course, August 1st, in 2 weeks, the Men's Quarterly and Women's Quarterly are going to happen. And for the men, the hunt is on. Menticide. And that's going to be from noon to 2 p.m. on that Saturday the 5th. And as always, you can make your donation for $10 and $5 for Warriors in Training and make out to PayPal, Baruti@Yahoo, or Cash App, $Yah, the middle in middle initial M, Baruti. And make sure you put the hunters on, your name, and your email address so you can get the link. And, of course, that same day, Saturday, August 5th, from 4 to 6 p.m., is the Women Embracing African Womanhood. Embracing African Womanhood. Same thing, $5. $10 for adults, $5 for teens. PayPal, Baruti@Yahoo, or Cash App, $Yah, the letter M, Baruti. And, of course, pertinent information, which is African Womanhood, your name, and your email address. Yeah. And, of course, save the date, African Warriors Day, Saturday, September 16th. The reason why it's important is because this year and ongoing from that point, we will combine these two celebrations into one joint celebration, all in September. All in September. We hope to see you there. So, I'm going to go to the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Watch out now. July 23rd. If they come and get your man at night, they will come back in the morning for your women. African proverb. The steadily increasing incarceration of African girls and women only tells part of the story of racist, institutionalized assault against sisters. In an effort to reproduce its ancient tradition today and give the illusion of correcting for the sexism of its patriarchal, anti-female social and socializing context, European culture has been busy convincing our children that their sex is irrelevant in terms of their behavior they should model. The result of the moves to eradicate gender differences to create a comfortably sexually perverted world for Europeans is a socialized drive among girls and women to be boys and men so they can gain the power and privilege almost exclusively associated with being male. In our daughters, this shift in orientation has manifested itself in an increased violence, aggressiveness, and homosexuality. In our sons, in effeminization, homosexuality emerges, changing them from possessing the potential to be men, Western society most fears, into the powerless males desperately in need of protection by white males. In a stench, invictus, sexually charged, hierarchical, arranged society, our daughters see males as the most valued and most powerful individuals in a society where the most extreme aggressors are the most rewarded. And having studied these predatory prey games, they have concluded that they must be even more aggressive than those they seek to take over. Wow. Affirm, they will not get our men and women or our sons and daughters. I repeat, affirm, they will not
get our men and women or our sons and daughters. July 24th, I freed thousands of captives. I could have freed thousands more if they had known they were in captivity. Sister Armenthea, Nana Armenthea, Harriet Tubman. Sister Armenthea is still chasing the plantations of the West, scanning, searching for Africans ready for revolution, ready for a liberation that will release them from the captivity and bring them back home to Africa. Her spirit is embodied in the many courageous sisters following her incomparable lead, determined to bring their people to freedom at any cost, walking along new paths, newfound paths carved by old railroad conductors, ways to freedom with which only they were allowed to become familiar. As with their ancestors, Armenthea, they know friend from foe and fulfill their mission without fear. Inevitably, the price for this is collecting prices on their heads. But they, like Nana Armenthea, are packing. That's right, just in case. So keep an eye out. Be ever ready, for they only call once. And if you're ready, you had better take their hand, follow their lead quickly and quietly. For these remarkable sisters still have many plantations to work and lead from those Africans who have finally come to recognize that they were in captivity, but now they want to be free. I say, affirm, I am the spirit of Armenthea. Affirm, I am the spirit of Armenthea. Sister Harriet Tubman, Sister Armenthea. Yeah, family. What I'm going to do today is further this conversation from we had last weekend, last Friday, because I don't think and the conversation was Jason Aldean and what he's talking about, Ron DeSantis and what he did, and so many other things that are happening. I guess I'm just trying to say this is an overall continuation, a constant continuation of the illusion of inclusion, the constant continuation of Caucasians all the time lying, a constant continuation of them exerting what they believe is their right to do. They do what they do because they believe that they can do it. And so they do it. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. Probably one of the worst things that happened, and I need to call Chief Ogumawale in Tulsa. They denied the three surviving, two sisters and a brother, any reparations, any compensation, any good deed about what happened to them, their families, and all that was lost to them. No, you'll get nothing. I'm just going to keep it real, as I always do, family. I understand the Japanese. The Japanese came to the West Coast. They were living in L.A. and living in San Francisco particularly, and living on the West Coast, Oregon and so forth, up into Seattle. And then, of course, the war broke out. Japan was an enemy.
And so the United States felt. They didn't do that to the Germans. They didn't turn to Germans. The Germans were probably a greater enemy, a bigger threat. And of course, the Germans could have sent all kind of people, found ways to get them all here. Those who had learned English real well and had no German accent but knew German fluently. They didn't do that. But the Japanese, we gotta watch them, put them what they call internment camps, if you want to use that term, internment camps, prisons. They were not allowed to leave. And then, of course, after the war was over, they were released. And Ronald Reagan in 1980, signed, I don't remember how much it was that they received for being U.S. citizens that they were, based upon the criteria that is set. I don't remember how much they received for their possessions to be taken, their land to be taken, their homes to be taken. Don't know how much the European Jews, and I don't know why United States, well, I do know why the United States, because European Jews are pimps, and United States is as big as hoe. Damn, Oshi. look at the dynamic. Look how things have formulated. Look what happens. So, the United States at the Nuremberg trial, very instrumental in making sure that the European Jews were compensated, the guilty, the Germans and anybody else, the Italians also had to repay them, you know. But us, there's no respect for us. There's no respect for us. We, you know, the thing about the history part, this is same thing I'm going to go with this Jason Aldean thing, is that a lot of times, and that's why the Florida board is wanting to control this history and and to legitimize it. They got these two Negroes, and I ain't lying. They look like somebody from the 50s. Y'all <Yasa? laughs> I saw them. Maybe I need a better look, you know. So anyway, if I want to control or have control, you know, I want to make sure I control the narrative. So, all of this is, it's not separate. There are different threads of this mindset, all culminating into European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. It's in everything they do. It's in everything they do. So, where should I go first? The Jason Aldean, the Ron DeSantis, who knows? All of it. It's in all, everything they do. You know, I played for you, my good brother, Dr. Rashad Ritchie. And I know you probably seen Brother Rashad Ritchie. You know, he's on radio, so you haven't seen him there. You just hear him. But his reach is wide. He is on the Young Turks. That's why you see him there on the Young Turks. And so there's a couple pieces I want to play. I want to play that one piece that he did on Jason Aldean. And then let me tell you the reason why I'm going to play it again. Because what he did in the piece about Jason Aldean, he put some history to it. If you go, and believe me, on a computer, you do develop wave that you got there that, you know, and it constantly brings up stuff that you may like, that you may want. Because I just did that thing with Jason Aldean. I got a whole algorithm. I mean, tons of shit. But all of these, most of the ones that I wanted to listen to were us, to see how they responded to this Jason Aldean thing, right? I would venture to say 80% of the ones I listened to, maybe even higher, all were in favor of Jason Aldean. I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. Because what happens is that we lack historical context. And what Rashad Ritchie provided, Dr. Ritchie provided, was some historical context. He talked about the Maury Building in Columbus, Tennessee, where the lynching happened, where even in 1946, where a riot happened, another massacre happened. So there's some context there, some historical context, and why he chose to utilize that building, because he's not from Tennessee. He's not from a small town. He's from Macon, Georgia. You know, I don't know why the lyrics the way they are. Everything, there's an intent. Sometimes the intent may not even be something that you do consciously. But then again, as the saying goes, there are no mistakes. It's intentional. You know, the intention of the iconography or the imagery that you see in the video, truly some Black Lives Matter, definitely didn't show anything of rioting. When he talks about rioting and out of pocket, he could have showed, of course, January 6th. But he wasn't going to show that because he ain't talking about those good old boys. He ain't talking about those good old boys. No, he's talking about the good old boys in the small town who are well trained, as the song goes. That'll bust a cap in your ass. How I looked at it, family, is that he was saying, "Come on." He was saying, "Bring that to the small town. It's just like sundown towns. If your ass, you can go there and work, but you better have your ass gone by sundown. You better not be in that town." It's the same thing today in South Africa. Yes, family, in South Africa, there are towns and areas that some Africans can, that they'll go get you, and you come there and you labor, and they'll get your ass out. These are only for Caucasians. And you know how terribly that irks me, that in African land, Caucasians have places on Africa's land that are strictly theirs, that they territorialize themselves off and declare themselves sovereign. It just bothers the shit out of me. I hate it. Knowing well that we cannot do that anywhere in the world as African people, but yet they have. Well, the thing was, they had it all. And then they were mad as hell. Some of them left. Some of the South Africans couldn't fathom living in South Africa under African rule, under Nelson Mandela or anybody else. But then some of them said, hey, you know what? We're going to weather this storm. And they did. And they still have control. You have control if you got the military. You got control if you got the money. You in control. I don't give a damn how many legislators you have and attorneys you have, all that, but don't mean jack. You in control. So Jason Aldean, who's adamantly saying that that's not the case, that's not, you know. But what also Brother Richie pointed out was at a Halloween party, he was in blackface. Now, we heard many politicians and others who were in blackface. But we've all, as far as we're concerned, as far as I know, as I'm concerned, that's an offensive act. I don't know when he did it. Don't give a damn when he did it. He did it, and it's an offensive act. But even deeper, he was wearing Confederate flag T-shirts. Wearing Confederate flag T-shirts. So that, the song and so forth, but yet all of these Negroes, and there was one that just made me, he made me sick. In fact, I think I saw him on a program before. In fact, it was with Dr. Richie. Because I think he's a former police officer. There are some of us who have been so whitewashed that, you know, we do it consciously. We defend Caucasians consciously. We don't want to look at this thing from a historical perspective. In fact, we definitely don't want to, because we want our perspective to be like theirs. We want our perspective to be just, we want that anything that he's going to say, damn it, we're going to say too. No, it's not. And they didn't show nobody black. No, they had masks on when they were doing the smash and grab. They weren't showing faces. The only faces they shown was a couple of Caucasians. Intentionally. They know it was Black Lives Matter. But also, too, they know within Black Lives Matter, during the David Floyd situation, there was a lot of Antifa. A lot of individuals who were part of that group who want to cause what we consider, you know, yeah, we want to call Antifa, anarchists. Okay, I'll do that, brother. Yeah, oh, shit, it's almost that time. Okay, it's almost that time. When I come back, I'm going to get off of that. I'll play that piece by Dr. Richie. I'll play both pieces. I think they both need to be played. And so I'm going to go take this break. When I come back from the break, brothers and sisters, we're going to get off into it. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Malaya Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And getting back to the conversation, the discussion on this madness. Yeah. Yeah, this Jason Aldean thing. But, you know, the thing is, you know, was as I was listening to the so many of the brothers and some sisters too, you know, say that Jason Aldean ain't racist. I don't see what's wrong with the song, you know. I'm like, you really? You don't see what's wrong? But because a lot of them don't have any historical perspective, any historical reference. They probably didn't know that. Why did he choose that place to have it there when they know that a lynching took place there? And is that significant? Also, too, the imagery, the smash and grabs, his words, the incitement. Oh, yeah? I got a gun. A challenge. Yeah, try that here. Yeah, come on. Yeah. So, this is what, in case you if you heard it, cool. If you didn't, this is the piece that Brother Richie put on as it relates to this.
CMT, Country Music Television. Guess what? They had to pull a country song singer because of racist overtones. Don't say. Let's put it up full mass. Now, let me give you the background. Country Music Television has pulled a music video for the song. Try that in a small town by the country music superstar, Jason Aldean. The video was shot in front of the Maury County Courthouse in Columbia. This is important. This is Columbia, Tennessee. That site where the video was shot is famous for the 1927 mob lynching of Henry Choate, who was an 18-year-old black male. Let me read some of the lyrics. So according to this country music star, sucker punch somebody on the sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act like a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on a flag, light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Okay, that's one part. Let's go to part two. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long. For you to find out, I recommend you don't. Try that in a small town. Got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that's mighty fly in the city. Good luck. There's another one. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long. For you to find out, I recommend you don't. Try that in a small town. Full of good old boys, raised up right if you're looking for a fight. Also, he issued a statement on Twitter. In the past 24 hours, I have been accused of releasing pro-lynching song that has been out since May and was subject to the comparison that I, direct quote, was not too pleased with the nationwide Black Lives Matter protest. These references are not only meritless but dangerous. There is not a single lyric in the song that references race or points to it, and there isn't a single video clip that isn't real news footage. And while I can try and respect others to have their own interpretation of a song with music, this one goes too far. Sir, you did your video at the site of a major murder that was race-related against a young black teenager. The statement continues, try that in a small town for me refers to the feeling of a community that I had growing up, where we took care of our neighbors, regardless of differences of background or belief, because they were our neighbors. And that was above any differences. My political views have never been something I've hidden from. And I know that a lot of us in this country don't agree on how we get back to a sense of normalcy, where we go at least a day without a headline that keeps us up at night. But the desire for it too, that's what this song is about. However, fellow country singer Margo Price called out the time Jason dressed in blackface for Halloween. Sir, that's pretty racist. So Margo Price, a colleague, just popping on here to say Jason is a clown. What else do y'all expect from a man who wore blackface in 2015? Jason defended it at the time with an interview on Billboard. Let's put it up. He said about blackface, in this day and age, people are so sensitive that no matter what you do, somebody's going to make a big deal out of it. Me doing that has zero malicious intent. I get that race is a touchy subject, but not everybody's that way. Media tends to make a big deal out of things. If that was disrespectful to anyone, I by all means apologize. That was never my intention. It never crossed my mind. End quote. From 2015 to 2019, it's insane. He wore a Confederate flag shirt on stage that same year. A reportedly official Jason Tour shirt included the Confederate flag was available to purchase online. The Confederate flag is racist. He also wore an Alabama shirt with a Confederate flag on it in 2019. News reports from 2015 and 2017 suggest his association with the flag goes back years earlier. I got to say this, sir. The narrative that you have presented does not align with the behavior you engage in. When other country music artists are literally calling you racist AF, and you're still defending your racism without any acknowledgement directly to black people at all, sir, you may want to check yourself in the mirror. All right, thoughts?
Yeah, you might want to do that. Yeah. So you see, it's not just that. It's not just that song. And so many responders who had podcasts, and there was a lot. Like I said, I guess my algorithms that on my YouTube, I mean, they were tons. I didn't even try to get them all, but some of the ones I wanted to hear, you know, what they had to say, some older, some younger. Obviously, the younger ones definitely were in support of Jason Aldean. You know, because some of them didn't like Black Lives Matter either. I ain't crazy about Black Lives Matter's organization, but I believe that our lives matter. I know our lives matter. But anyway, you know, they talked about the song. Oh, I like the song, I like the music, I like the beat. Oh man, you know, and I don't see anything racist. I didn't see her, you know. Like I said, to me, the videos are clear. When you look at them, and then who he talks about, but that's what it is. It is that, and that's the design. Just like what they're doing in Florida, and probably will happen in Texas and other places. Oh man, because Texas governor is off the chain. He is an asshole, no doubt. You know, doing what he's doing in the Rio Grande River and what he has done. I mean, I know that immigration is a serious issue, particularly immigration from the southern border. And I don't know why the United States and Mexico and the countries that many of them are coming from, because it's not Mexico. They're coming from Nicaragua. They're coming from El Salvador. You need to sit down and talk with those countries to find ways to keep their people. Yes, I can understand some of their people are leaving under the threat of death, under the threat of starvation, probably. I don't know. Under the threat of criminal behavior by those within their, you know, areas that they live. I'm not for illegal immigration. I don't care. I know one thing. You know, we didn't immigrate to here. We were stolen. We were put here. And then they made us citizens. Just like the brother said, we're African without memory and citizen without privilege. We're in limbo. You know, and so it culminates with what's happening in Florida. I think that will be done in other states, maybe not in the northern states. But the bottom line is, these schools and this curriculum, and they've always done this. You know, they didn't have us in the curriculum back when I was in school. You didn't learn anything about our history. And you and listen to this, family. You sure wasn't going to learn about anybody who was resisting, anybody who fought. So you didn't learn about Harriet Tubman. You didn't learn about Nat Turner. You learned about Booker T. Washington. You learned about George Washington Carver. You know, you didn't learn about that. When I was in high school, we walked out citywide. Black Studies, never forget it. Great day. And then, of course, they started doing it across the country. And then now they want to revise the history. Let's go to my, let's hear him again. This is Dr. Ritchie. Talking about that's not Dr. Ritchie.
Florida done it. They are now mandating that schools teach slavery as beneficial. Let's go to the first video.
Do not, for the love of God, tell kids that slavery was beneficial, because I can guarantee you it most certainly was not. Thank you.
Education and civil rights advocates are slamming new Black history teaching standards in Florida. Under the new rules, middle school teachers must now include lessons, quote, how slaves developed skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit.
It's inaccurate. It's ahistorical. Critics are calling this a big step backwards and saying it's a disservice to Florida students because they're not going to learn the full truth and the full accurate truth of American history.
This is insanity on top of insanity. Parents, advocates of all different backgrounds proclaimed this is wrong. Do not do it. None of them listen. Why? Because they are under the direction of a madman named Governor Ron DeSantis. And they themselves are feckless leaders in positions of authority. Here it is.
And I am very concerned by these standards, especially some of the notion that, you know, enslaved people benefited from being enslaved is inaccurate and a scary standard for us to establish in our educational curriculum.
The proposed changes specifically for elementary and middle school students leave out the last 150 years of Black history. Where Black history is taught provides a simplified and sterilized version of history.
The new standards suggest that violence by Black residents in defense of their lives and homes as they were surrounded by armed mobs and flames and as they were forced to flee their homes or be shot or burned are to be included as a seemingly equal part of the standard. This is egregious if you understand what happened to the Black residents in Ocoee in 1920.
First of all, I want to say any kind of standards that indicate that slavery benefited Black people is such an insult. My husband is Black. My daughter is Black. And the thought that slavery benefited them, how could that be taught? The fact that the pushback to Reconstruction benefited them, the fact that Jim Crow benefited them, how can we teach that to students?
How can someone look at a child with a straight face and say that slavery benefited black people?
All right, members, we have the motion on the table to approve the two rules. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Show the amendment approved. Members, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll be back.
This is adverse to the sentiment of the majority of Americans. They do not agree with this. The majority of white America does not agree with this curriculum adoption. Obviously, black Americans do not agree. But let's count the hypocrisy in all of this. As I said from day one, this is the plan of Governor DeSantis to eliminate diversity, to eliminate inclusion. He is literally making conversations at the kitchen table of racist law. This is what racist people say inside of their homes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what black people are upset about. I mean, you know, it's a lot of benefits they receive from slavery. Mm-hmm. Here's another hypocrisy. They're not teaching how slavery or the criminal murderous enterprise known as slavery, they're not teaching how it benefited white slave masters, nor their descendants. They're only teaching it in the context of how it benefited black people, enslaved Africans, who are ripped from their homelands, denied their opportunity of individualism, made to benefit one entity alone, wealthy white men. Let's go to it. Middle school students in Florida will soon be taught that slavery gave black people a, and I quote, personal benefit because they developed skills. After the Florida Board of Education approved new standards for African-American history on Wednesday, high school students will be taught an equally distorted message that a deadly white mob attack against black residents of Ocoee, Florida in 1920 included acts of violence perpetrated against and by African Americans. Dozens of black residents were killed in the massacre, which was perpetrated to stop them from voting. According to members of the board, that distorted portrayal of the racist massacre is factually accurate. Marilyn Marger, a member of the board appointed by none other than Governor Ron DeSantis, said at the board's meeting in Orlando on Wednesday that everything is there in the new history standards and the darkest parts of our history are addressed. The Tallahassee Democrat reported a majority of the speakers who provided public testimony on the planned curriculum are opposed to it, warning that crucial context is omitted, atrocities are glossed over. And in some cases, students were taught to actually blame the victim being black people. I am very concerned by these standards, especially some of the notion that enslaved people benefited from being enslaved. Can I say this? What the hell is Biden saying about it? Mm. Hell, we have a vice president that is a person of color. Is there a massive, massive messaging campaign against this type of insanity in our nation? No, it is not. Yeah. Democrats are very good at making you feel like, you know, well, we feel with you and this is outrageous. There's more. When I see the standards, I am very concerned, says State Representative Thompson. Very concerned. If I were still a professor, I would do what I did very infrequently. I'd have to give this a grade I for incomplete. It recognizes that we have made an effort. We've taken a step. However, this history needs to be comprehensive. It needs to be authentic, and it needs additional work. When you look at the history currently, it suggests that the Ocoee massacre was sparked by violence from African Americans. That's blaming the victim, the Democrat warned. The Florida governor signed the Stop Woke Act last year to just do that, restricting how issues of race are taught in public schools and workplaces, and keeping with the administration's crusade against wokeness. Education Commissioner Manny Diaz defended the new standards against criticism, saying, quote, this is an in-depth deep dive into African-American history, which is clearly American history, as Governor DeSantis has said, and what Florida has done to expand it. Paul Burns, the Florida Department of Education's Chancellor of K-12 Public Education, also insisted the new standards provide an exhaustive representation of African-American history. Our standards are factual, objective standards that really teach the good, the bad, and the ugly. He was quoted as saying Wednesday by the Florida Phoenix. He denied the new standards portray slavery as beneficial. Although education officials say teachers are meant to expand upon the new curriculum in the classroom, critics say teachers are unlikely to do that for fear of being singled out, possibly punished for being too woke. The Florida Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, called the new standards, quote, a big step backward for our state that has required teaching African-American history since 1994. In a statement after Wednesday's vote, Derek Johnson, president and CEO of the NAACP, also condemned the new curriculum, saying in a statement, our children deserve nothing less than truth, justice, and the equity our ancestors shed blood, sweat, and tears for. Today's action by the Florida state government are an attempt to bring our country back to a 19th century America where Black life was not valued, nor our rights protected. It is imperative that we understand that the horrors of slavery and Jim Crow were a violation of human rights and represent the darkest period in American history. We refuse to go back, the head of the NAACP said. Next time somebody says, what did they mean by make America great again? Please understand they are providing the answer front and center right now. This is the thoughts.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. Make America great again. Make America great when we were invisible. When you watched movies in from the 40s, even the 50s, you know, and you didn't see us. There were nowhere to be found in cities, let alone in small towns. Let's make America that way again. We controlled everything. Didn't have to worry about putting a Negro here or there. We controlled it all. Europeans are selfish and greedy. Don't want to share the downfall. And my contention is, brothers and sisters, they can have it. That's why I'm constantly adamant about getting the hell up out of here. I don't care about challenging these people. I don't. I have given up. I have given up long ago. This program is not about challenging white folks. What this program is about is exposing them, talking about who and what they are and what their intentions are and what they do. But no, it's not about challenging white folks. You know? They're going to do what they're going to do.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
646-646, good afternoon. 646, good afternoon. Okay, Jay had to hang up. I surprised his ass. Usually I leave him hanging on for a minute. 646, good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, brother.
Something wrong with your phone, man.
Something wrong with my phone? You can't hear
me? Or something wrong with the line.
Yeah, you couldn't hear me?
Yeah, I couldn't hear it. I don't know what's going on. No, I was just tuning in to hear what you were talking about today.
Oh, okay. Well, Yeah, I was further explaining the situation that these Caucasians are going to do what they're going to do. And they have been bold, and they continue to be bold, because what has been happening particularly recently has emboldened them to do so. The election of Trump, many of the individuals who were just adamant about exposing themselves as being the races that they are. The Jason Aldean thing, that piece.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, and that right there is crazy. But you know, but the also funny thing is, I don't know if you spoke about it today. You saw what they did over in Israel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's going to be happening here soon, man.
It could be.
I was looking at the newspaper earlier today, man, and they had a guy yesterday, one of those conservative sickos, on one of the talk shows talking about Kamala Harris ain't had no business saying anything about what was going on
in Florida.
In Florida, because it really wasn't nothing. I mean, the reality is, and I say this all the time, man, it's a white man's country.
Yeah.
And
yes,
white folks are going to do what they're going to do to preserve their right to have power in this country. And ain't no way in hell they're going to give it to blacks, Mexicans, or any other degenerate type part of the society, like your Monkey Man and Twisted Sisters. But what upsets me the most is this Negro. See, this Negro don't want to do what he has to do to solidify his position in the country, because the sad thing is, as these other ethnic groups gain power, all that's going to happen is black people just going to get effed over more. Because if you understand and you know history, all of the ethnic groups sided with the devil when it came down to their position and their actions against black folks. I mean, you know, it's just sad that we, as the dumbasses that we pretend to act and be like, don't do anything about it. Because you want to solve this problem? I'll tell you how you solve this problem. And you can do it within a span of 3 to 6 months. Have all people of Africanness, blackness, Negroic, or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, stop by Pepsi Cola or Coca-Cola.
Sure.
And let's see what happens.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
There is no doubt about it, Jay.
Our so-called leaders talk about that.
There is no doubt about it. If we became unified in a small manner, just saying that we're not going to do this or we're going to do that, would have serious, but you know, it is hard to get us. It's just like, as I said earlier, you probably did, weren't listening, because I put that in the YouTube, and to bring up all that information, that's where I got the Rashad Ritchie, Dr. Ritchie pieces that I just played. But I had a whole bunch of others of brothers and sisters who got podcasts talking about the Jason Aldean thing, and the vast majority of them agreeing with him. This ain't racist. What is wrong with what he's saying, what he's doing? They, number one, they had no historical reference. They did not know that where he was playing at, and all the backdrop on that building is the Morrow Building, where in 1927 a young black man was lynched, or in 1946 where a massacre occurred in Columbia, Tennessee. They made it up. They don't have that
these
reference.
These were black people?
Huh?
These were black
people? Yes.
These were black people?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, a whole bunch of us. You know?
Yeah.
So what he can say, what are you talking about? Even your people say it's not racist. So I'm fine. You know? But then, but Sherrod Ritchie provided some other historical context. Him performing in blackface. Not performing in blackface. Him going to a party, I apologize, in blackface. I don't mean party in blackface. But him performing with a Confederate flag T-shirt. Him comforting a number of times.
He's been a racist for a long time.
Yeah.
Man. I mean,
yeah.
And you can't clean this cracker up.
No, man.
I mean, it don't even make sense as far as I'm concerned to entertain it. If you don't know what's being said, then hey, man, shame on you. But I ain't wasting my time on that, man, because. The bottom line is, like you said, these YouTubers and these so-called information thought merchants
going to
go along with it and try and make some sort of sick, twisted excuse in regards to his bullshit. But, you know, hey, that's it. I'm more concerned about what's going on in Florida in the absolute apathy of our people to allow that. To allow that to happen.
So you didn't hear that part either.
And to continue to allow that to happen.
Right.
So now you're going to gaslight me into my re-enslavement. You're going to make me or try to make my kids feel good about that, saying that we were learning a effing skill. Ain't that a bitch?
Well, you know, I played that particular piece too, Dr. Ritchie's piece on that. And I thought that was pretty decent. That's why I played it. And you had a number of Caucasians who were addressing the Florida legislature, arguing against what the school board wants to do, you know. And the vote was taken.
Yeah, because they know that they could be a backlash on them and whatever their position is, but. I mean, where are the black people at? Why isn't this gravitating us to come together to put a chokehold around these racist bastards? Because the reality is, I shouldn't say this, but I'm gonna say it. I made a very big wager on Trump winning the presidency. A very big wager.
What?
I mean, I'm lucky I
what,
have the
2024?
Money. I have the money to wage.
What?
Yeah, he gonna win the presidency. I'm lucky I got the money to wage it. It ain't hurt my pocket. But
because
I really think he's gonna win it.
I don't even think he'll be able to run. I don't even think he'll be able to
get out of here. But listen. The technicality is this. They ain't gonna be able to stop him from running. That's not gonna happen. Now, my prediction is, if the trial goes through, that's stated for May of next year, he'll be convicted. But that will just embolden the cracker even more to get him elected. Always remember this, Hoshi. The goddamn bastard got 71 million votes in this country. What do that tell you?
Well, I think out of that 71 million, and of course, Biden got 80-something. So, but the bottom line, Biden dusted his ass. But the bottom line is this. Out of that 70-something million, there's a number of them that will not vote for him again. His base will dwindle. I mean, he is a convicted felon. Look at what he has done. My contention is, hold on, Jay. They should have looked at him from Jump Street, looking at what he has done. I mean, to me, he was disqualified when he was telling dude on the bus, you just grab him by the pussy. You know, that right of red, you know, anybody else. Jay, you and I both know any other candidate for public office who's running for public office, if they played a piece like that I said, and it's definitely me saying it, and there's some other comments later, that would nullify me. Would you agree?
Oh, I agree with you 1,750%.
Exactly.
But see, it's something special about that cracker. I mean, think about it this way. Santos is trying to do the same thing that he's doing, but Because he ain't got that. He ain't got
that charisma.
He ain't got that magic. He ain't got that charisma. He ain't got that pure holism. And you know, but check this out. Check this out. I gotta tell you this. Your boy was on, I think it was YouTube, Instagram, or something. I saw praising Donald Trump, Judge Joe Brown, that Negro.
Yeah.
Talking about how Trump loaned blacks money, how Trump did this, how Trump did this. You know, it's sick Negroes like that who try to present a certain fact and justify the so-called nature of the cracker. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. Maybe Trump isn't the so-called racist that we pointing him out to be, and that maybe this is an act and an agenda of trying to preserve whiteness in
the bottom line is
the devil a pass.
The bottom line is everything Trump does is designed, is all a lie. Exactly, to maintain whiteness. That's the bottom line. To me, his hand has been shown to me way back when his ass was on Donahue, when his ass was young and on these other programs. I have never liked Donald Trump. It was really angered me when he was adamant about giving the death penalty to those five brothers. And even when they were exonerated,
that was part of the script.
You know? So
that was part, you know, and that's how he was able to get into birth rhythm.
Yeah.
That was how he was able to do all of these other things. But see, the thing that we miss is, and I don't think that a lot of us get it, is the bastards who back this dumb son of a bitch. Because he's about the dumbest son of a bitches that come. And
but
you know,
man,
Bob is one vote away from senility. You know what
man,
I
this
mean?
Man,
and he
didn't
get exposed before it's over.
This man's access
to
the kind of funds is ridiculous. And to this man is a fool, but we'll see. Let me catch another caller, Jay. You just hang on.
Yes,
brother.
My brother, right. Please.
All right.
Please do.
All right. 443-44 he hung up on me. They hung up, both callers hung up on me.
What you saying too much truth about their hero, Donald Trump? You know, I'm surprised, Ocean, to be honest with you, man, that you don't get cracker trolls calling up on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you don't get that sexy Negro like a Baba Pianchi who loved Donald Trump. I mean, you know, I would love for some of these.
I'm so glad Pianchi ain't calling
Negroes.
Me, man. I used to hang up on his ass all the time.
The man is an absolute fool, man.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that he's no longer with Brother Keeney.
He's good.
On Sunday,
I didn't.
I don't have to listen.
Yeah, I was surprised because I, you know, Brother Keeney Wadu, that he was on his show for a good while. I was like, really?
Well, he's on there for years.
Yeah.
When Keeney moved over to this new thing he's doing called the Mastermind or whatever, he left. But I mean, that Negro was a special case of retardation, assimilation, and all that. And the crazy thing was, the cat was rich.
Yeah, well, he was in construction.
The guy had serious money. Man.
Yeah, he was in construction, man.
He built a lot of things in St. Louis,
yep.
man.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff his construction company was responsible. I mean, he knew some things, but his greed of the dollar was just so twisted, like most white people that have a little bit of money is. But it's like, you know, we as a people, we got to really figure this thing out, man, because it's not like it's getting any better for us.
Oh, no, brother, it's not.
In all honesty, it's getting worse.
It's going to get worse. No.
It's really getting worse because the thing, like I always try to say to these young kids today, you're competing not like with what I was competing with. You're competing with a larger group. And the thing is, the dominant group hates you. Mm-hmm. The dominant group has no love for you whatsoever. So when I hear people talking about going to college and all of that, I always say to any young person that I'm dealing with, let me assess your skills. Are your reading skills well enough? Are your writing skills well enough?
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to even think about going to college and getting yourself in debt. Now, do you have the skill to maybe learn electrician like Ralph? Because, you know, a brother like Ralph makes way more money than the average lawyer, doctor, and college grad. Unless you're into certain fields, they're not competing with a Ralph. They're not competing with a plumber. They're not competing with a construction person that knows the trade and that's multi-faceted. And you're not going to get in the type of debt that you're going to get in trying to get some bullshit degree to psychoanalyze some sick nigga. I mean, and get into the debt. I know so many people that got degrees. I know lawyers that are lawyers that ain't making no money. You know, you know what I mean? I had a lawyer friend that I had to change his whole damn career so he could start making some money. You know what I mean? And the only reason it happened was because we were good friends. And you know, the thing that I love so much about him is whenever he do a deal that I put him in contact with or around it, he always throw me a couple of dollars.
Right on. Well, he should.
I love that brother.
He should. That's cool.
I love him. Because before I put him on the right direction, he wasn't making no money. He wasn't making no money. I said, yo, man, this one. And I'm thankful for brothers like that, man. And he passed the buck along. But I tell every kid the three golden rules.
Mm-hmm.
Get you a worldview, get you a trade, and learn you the basics of as many other languages that you can so that if things don't work out here for you and you got a skill that's applicable around the world, get on a goddamn plane or a boat and go somewhere. Because my prime mentee, my main man, 26 years old, going all around the world as a welder, making buku dollars. And I love this kid so much, man, because he appreciate me, man. And every time I see him, it brings tears to my eyes. Before he go see his mama, he come and put his bag down at my house and take me out to eat and tell me what he's doing, show me his pictures and everything. I love that boy. I wish he was my own son. But all he did was listen. He found out that he liked welding. He got into the program because of his situation. It ain't cost him nothing. He got on a couple of shipyards. He got hooked up through the union, which was a blessing. You know what I mean? And through a contact of mine, got on the Brooklyn Navy Yard, was able to apprentice, learn his skill, and learn his craft, and got his monkey ass on the plane out to San Diego. I'll never forget it. He took me out to dinner before he left, and he started crying, and I started crying, and he told me, I'm going to go to San Diego, I got a job out there, and I'm going to start my journey. And Lord have mercy, the last 6 years has been magnificent for that young man.
Well, right on.
I love that
boy. That's beautiful.
So much. And you know something, man? I look at when he say to me, here go my passport. He always want to show me the passport to say, I'm not lying to you, Pop. I said, I know you're not lying to me. I, you know, I see the calls when you call me to let me know you're all right. He's been to like 7-8 countries welding. doing his thing. Oh, man, that's my greatest success, more than my children.
I hear you, man. Right on, Jay. Let me take this call. Let me get Brother Irv in the mix. Brother Irv, 443, good afternoon.
Baba Oshie, can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Oh, man, thank you for taking my call once again. I'm listening to the conversation with you and Jay. Jay is interesting, makes a very good point, and I love it. I'm actually traveling. I just got back from Kansas City. I went out there to teach a workshop, actors workshop.
Oh, right on.
You know, I've been an actor for years, and I went out there to teach me and a couple of other cats. So it was very interesting, but other than that, you know, I had to turn into the show and catch what was going on. I heard Jay say some things. Someone said something about Donald Trump, and he was going to win, and he was a special crack. And I beg to differ. There's nothing special about him.
No, Donald Trump is an idiot, manipulative, narcissistic idiot. You know,
correct.
Yeah, he's
correct.
Undermining back. No. Donald Trump is the worst kind of human being. I peeped him long, long, long ago, and I can't stand his ass. And the fact that he was able to run for president with all the baggage that he had, you know, and to me, all the things that he has done since then, there should be no way in hell that this man should run for any damn thing, you know. He has multiple indictments hanging over his head. You know, you hear him on tape talking about, I just need 11,000 votes, you know,
in Georgia. Yeah. Find me that. That's what you need to
exactly. Find it for me so I can go ahead and take Georgia, you know, and other places. What he did, all the records in Mar-a-Lago. Documents of Mar-a-Lago, you know. No, man, this cat is, he's off the chain. He's the most criminal, most corrupt, the worst president there was. Look at what happened during the pandemic, you know. Over a million died. Over a million people died, you know.
Robert Oshie, he is basically a huge distraction. Because as we sit here and talk about him, and push our energy this way, we're fighting on many fronts. There are still emasculating black men in the media when they say something that disagrees with a Jewish person, they get emasculated. When you say something that disagrees with the LGBT, you get emasculated. They make you apologize or they cancel you out. And Trump is just another part of that. You know, so there are lots of fronts that we're fighting on. This one, I truly believe he doesn't have a chance in hell of getting made, but he has so many similarities to the other evil people that have come down the pike, such as Hitler or Stalin and even King Leopold, that no one wants to talk about. You know, no one wants to talk about how terrible that person was. But the thing is, Robert Oshie, we know it, they know we know it, and that's why the posturing is happening. That's why they're moving the way they're moving, because we've already won. Yeah. They already know it. It's just a matter of time before we get our liberation. I mean, you look at people, they say Ukraine has to have its sovereignty, but you ain't said that Palestine has to have its sovereignty. You're sitting there promoting this every day, and act like it's not happening. They just took those people's land and killing those brothers. Mm-hmm. So no, brother, we have a lot of fronts to fight on. We have a lot of things to educate ourselves on and to educate our people before we actually see this liberated and sovereignty and self-determination, because that's all it is. That's what we're talking about.
That's the only thing we should be talking about, okay?
That's correct.
You're right.
That's correct.
The only thing we should be talking about.
As long as we stay focused, we're good. Yeah. As long as we stay focused, people hear you. They hear you, and that's very important. I just talked to some young people in Kansas City, man. They were hanging on every word I was saying. And I was telling them, man, I said, you young people out here, if you're all about me, you know, you got your iPhone, just you, just me, mm-hmm. you're going to get just what you asked for.
Yep.
You got a handful of yourself. And somebody who wants to be about themselves, find themselves by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
and talking to people they don't even know, or trying to make friends with folks that they don't even like, because people who they really want to be with don't have any time for them because they are so self-centered, selfish, and narcissistic. It's like Donald Trump. He wants to stay in the news. He has to stay relevant. It's like the rest of you.
Right.
So we
exactly.
know what the problem is.
He's constantly done that, you know, over all those many years. And I'm like, shh. Then, of course, he got his television program, you know. And I never watched an episode of it. I couldn't stand his ass, you know. And even some of the things that I saw when he talked about some of the contestants, because he had not just ordinary people, he had actors and other entertainers and so forth. And how they were going through the things you got to go through that he wanted you to do, you know, find or do whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, the bottom line is that this man is an habitual liar. You know, he's a thief. He's a con man, you know. And that's who he is. And there should be no way in hell that this man should ever be able to run for president of the United States. And if he does, and as Jay said, he got a bet on him. Jay said he got a bet. You know, I don't know how much money Jay
has. And Oshie.
Yeah.
Oshie, do you notice that he's everything that the white man is? Everything that you just use as an example is what the white man is. You think about that? You make a description
so Donald Trump,
the white man. You could use Donald Trump.
So Donald
as
Trump
the,
is the Donald Trump is the quintessential white man. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, seriously, white people quite love the bastard.
Yeah,
because
oh, yeah.
reality is, in all truthfulness, and this is the thing that we don't get: the white people. agree with him and have it crushed his ass.
Well,
think
you know
about
what?
How
well, let me say this, Jay. Because I got to go. Jay, you know I got to go. But let me.
Let him get away
Jay, you know I got to go. But I want to say this. I agree with you because there are so many people who are under his spell. You see it all the time, even to this day. And even when he said prior to the 2016 election, I can shoot some people right there on Fifth Avenue and not lose any votes. That's true. There are people right now, he said, well, if Donald Trump did this, would that preclude you from not voting for him? No. You know, if Donald Trump's lies have been revealed, would that preclude you from voting for him? No. You know, so apparently, man, he is able to do like a Svengali or some shit like that. Rasputin. I don't know. I got to go, Jay. I gotta go,
Don't get yourself in no trouble.
How you, take care, brothers. Peace to y'all. Peace to you, Herb. Ah, shit. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure as hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Wednesday when we have my good brother, Franklin Jones. All right, family. Peace.